Welcome to the Morning Magazine for Thursday, November 19th. I'm Sam Fuqua. Coming up, spirituality in the time of COVID and solar gardens, not just the panels, the actual plants. Plus our regular Thursday morning visit with John Lendorf on Radio Nibbles. And then on a public affair this morning, Tish Buford talks about the importance of Vice President-elect Kamala Harris to women of color. And at 9 o'clock this morning, Rosanna Longo hosts a panel discussion on the equitable opportunities for arts and outdoor education. Our day of diverse music begins, as always, at 9:30 with the Morning Sound Alternative. All that's still ahead, all made possible by the listener members of KGNU. Thanks, members. Checking some state and local headlines now. Boulder County set a single-day record Wednesday for COVID-19 hospitalizations. The county reported 98 people are in hospital for the virus. And over the past 2 weeks, the county reported 795 new cases per 100,000 residents. That is by far the highest levels of the pandemic. Stricter regulations go into effect Friday for 15 counties, including Boulder and all other Metro Denver counties. The new rules include a ban on personal gatherings, no indoor dining at restaurants, and very limited capacity at offices and gyms. And cases are on the rise again in Colorado nursing homes. Steve Miller reports.
In Colorado, new outbreaks of the coronavirus surged in November. The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment said that 57 nursing homes were experiencing outbreaks of the novel coronavirus, as were 58 assisted living facilities. Nursing home residents made up for a disproportionate share of deaths when the virus first arrived in the spring in Colorado, mainly because the odds of dying from the virus increase with age. Colorado State epidemiologist Rachel Herlihy said that with the virus spreading in all age groups, it's primarily faculty staff that have been exposed on the outside and unknowingly bringing it into the long-term facilities. Because of the infection being asymptomatic to some, the staff don't develop the symptoms, which are signs for them to stay home. Colorado reported over 4,000 new coronavirus cases Wednesday. Statewide, nearly 1,500 people were hospitalized Wednesday, with confirmed cases of COVID-19 breaking a record set the day before. An outbreak isn't over until 4 weeks have passed, with no new cases linked to it. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
The St. Vrain Valley School District will join the Boulder Valley and other area school districts in the move to all remote learning. The district announced Wednesday that they will make the switch after the Thanksgiving break. St. Vrain operated on a hybrid model for the past 6 weeks. Students attended school in person 2 days a week. The Daily Camera reports that the district will continue with remote learning at least until January. Denver Public Schools also announced Wednesday that they will shift to all remote learning after Thanksgiving. DPS reports about 300 coronavirus cases per week now, compared to 13 cases per week in September. New body cameras for Denver cops will automatically start recording when an officer draws their weapon. The Denver City Council on Wednesday approved $11 million for new cameras and upgrades to existing body cams. Denverite reports that Denver Police Chief Paul Pazin told the City Council's Safety Committee that the new technology is critical. Pazin says it's sometimes a challenge for officers to start their body cams, given everything else they're trying to do. In fact, a report from Denver's Office of Independent Monitor, the agency charged with independent oversight of police activities, found that in 2019, there were 49 violent interactions with the public that were not recorded on body cams. Mostly sunny today with highs in the mid-60s, overnight lows in the 30s. Cloudy and cooler tomorrow with forecast highs on Friday in the mid-40s. It's 10 minutes after 8 o'clock at KGNU. Well, the COVID-19 pandemic is leading some people to deepen their spiritual practice or return to a spiritual practice that they may have put aside. There are, of course, many different ways to do this, but there are common techniques and symbols across many different faiths and spiritual practices. Roland Evans will be discussing some of them in an online talk tomorrow. It's part of a series of talks organized by Interface Boulder. Roland Evans is a psychotherapist, writer, and teacher in Boulder. He joins us now. Roland Evans, what about the connection between COVID and people's need for a spiritual connection, a spiritual practice?
That's a very important and interesting question, because I think as in the West, we've forgotten really that these practices have been around for forever and ever, and that human beings have always taken time to get quiet, to get still at certain periods of time. And this is a time when people feel very anxious, upset, often a bit frantic, and don't know what to do about that. And taking time to just settle and get still. And really, the two main practices which come out of all religions across history and across the world are prayer and meditation. And in some sense, they're not that different, because the focus is to have an intentional time to really get still inside and to connect with something which is greater than yourself, something which can give you support, something that can give you some sense of stability. Now, those are the two main practices, if you like, in all religions, prayer and meditation. And as I say, they're distinct, but they are very similar in some ways. Then there are other practices, such as fasting or going on retreat or ritual or ceremony, which is the most common of all practices, which can help us feel a sense of settledness and a feeling of connection with others, but with also, as I say, something greater than yourself. And psychologically as well as spiritually, these are really essential for our well-being, to find that stillness inside.
How can we find that in a situation where we are regulated with good reason? We are told to limit our contact with others, limit our time going to other places, etc.
Well, one of the, what I call the supporting practices, of course, is retreat. And this can be a time of retreat for people. Certainly, I have actually made a conscious effort to think of this as a time when I have to be more focused inwards. I have to actually work on myself to get quieter. And retreat has that quality of taking the time intentionally for it to have some sort of meaning and to, if you like, work with that sense of anxiety, that sense of upset, and that sense of restriction that people are feeling, so that you can say, okay, today, maybe today I don't have to do anything. I'm not going to burden myself with, you know, all of the anxieties, the expectations. I'm going to take myself off, you know, media. I'm just going to be quiet. I'm going to take a walk, or I'm just going to watch the clouds, whatever it is, anything that helps you feel settled and retreat inwards, if you like. So particularly taking one day a week, you know, traditionally there's been the Sabbath, you know, and that's a Jewish tradition, but it's also a Christian tradition of taking one day where you don't have to do anything. And I think that can really make a difference to your whole week. Then the rest of the time, yes, you're going to be taken up with your work and all the rest of it. But one day where you don't be burden yourself with expectations and demands to be a certain way or to do certain things.
It's interesting to think, as you said earlier, that these practices are thousands of years old. We are in our current moment. We have a current crisis, but humans dealt with crises over the length of human existence, right?
That's right, exactly. And yes, we turn to each other because we definitely need communal support, which is very difficult at the time. Of course, you know, we're all dependent on Zoom for connection. And a lot of us are craving that physical connection, that sense of the other person's presence being there. But, you know, that isn't available. And somehow, you know, if you use Zoom and you really, in some sense, project yourself through the screen, it can be somewhat close to a personal connection. It isn't the same as being in the presence. But yes, human beings are incredibly resilient. And even with this crisis, you can see how resilient human beings are and how we're trying to not lose our essential humanity in this time of crisis. And that's why it's so important to keep returning to who we are and feeling, if you like, that inner spark which tells us we are human and that we need to address this. And, of course, prayer, from the, it's always been there. Every human being seems to have that ability to turn inwards and to turn to something greater than themselves and to ask for help or to just be open to something happening. And that causes us to really settle and not feel so alone.
You mentioned turning to something greater than themselves. So perhaps someone listening does not believe in God in the traditional sense. What would you say to them if they want to pray?
That's a very important question, because I don't know if you know the term SBNR, spiritual but not religious. This is one of the fastest growing groups in the West, in all Western countries. These are people who are not affiliated with any particular religion and often have a very wide different beliefs about things. When it comes to practice and when it actually comes to the essence of religion, beliefs are actually unimportant. What we believe doesn't really matter. What matters is our intentions and our practices, what we actually do. And in that sense, you know, whether you believe in God or whether you don't believe in God, and of course, you know, Buddhists who don't believe in God also pray. They don't seem to have a problem with that. If you go to actually a country like Sri Lanka, you'll see it's a very devotional culture, even though they don't have any concept of God. So the idea of God, and particularly a kind of the idea that somehow in the West, you know, that God is dead, that God is a kind of an anachronistic idea, we don't really need to have that. We need to have that feeling of somehow connection, of connection with ourselves and connection with something greater than ourselves, whatever we call that. And every religion calls it something different.
Roland Evans, thank you for speaking with us this morning.
Thank you.
Roland Evans is a psychotherapist, writer, and teacher in Boulder. His online talk is called Spokes of the Sacred Wheel, Prayer, Meditation, Fasting, Pilgrimage, and Retreat. It happens tomorrow, Friday, at 11:30 a.m. To register, you can go to interfaceboulder.org. That's interfaceboulder.org. It's 18 minutes after 8 here at listener-supported KGNU.
Giving back and supporting nonprofit organizations is one of the most rewarding things a person can do. This year, be sure to include KGNU as you schedule your donations for Colorado Gives Day, December 8th. Feel good about supporting in-depth news and eclectic music programming. Schedule your donation to KGNU at coloradogives.org.
Scientists at the National Renewable Energy Laboratory in Golden are researching how planting wildflowers, clovers, and other vegetation at solar farms can help improve water quality. Megan Day is the lab's senior energy planner. She says instead of laying gravel, which requires regular use of herbicides to keep weeds from blocking out the sun, adding plants with deep roots will help soak up stormwater.
So it's a much better and more effective way to control stormwater and clean the water by preventing it from running off the site and causing erosion and sedimentation into nearby waterways, streams, wetlands.
Some 350,000 acres of ground-mounted solar arrays currently operate in the United States. And as demand for cheaper renewable energy grows, landowners are projected to lease 3 million acres for solar by 2030. Day says it's important for developers to know upfront whether farms should be treated like parking lots, like meadows, or something in between. If solar facilities can be designated to soak up sun and storm water, Day says developers can avoid costly mitigation strategies such as retention ponds. Flowering plants also provide habitat for pollinators needed for a host of crops. Day says that might also bring more of the nation's farmers into the solar business.
It's predictable, good revenue. So it's a great opportunity for farmers to stabilize their revenues, get through the winter. Solar generates in the winter, too.
The benefits of solar are largely uncontested. Facilities generate electricity without pollution and also generate jobs, especially during construction. Day says if they haven't already, communities across the U.S. are likely to see some kind of solar development in the near future.
And they're going to want it to be done right. They want to have solar facilities that fit into their community, that don't have impacts that are negative, and they want benefits. We're trying to just increase those benefits.
That's Megan Day, a senior energy planner at NREL, the National Renewable Energy Lab in Golden.
One car, blue car, new car, old car, classic car, sports car, electric car. Wow, what a lot of cars in your garage. But isn't that a little extra? If you have more vehicles than you need, donate one, two, or even three to those who need it more. KGNU will use the proceeds to drive more hours of your favorite shows. We make it easy to give with free pickup, and your generous gifts could qualify for a tax deduction. Call 1-844-KGNU-CAR or donate securely online at kgnu.org.
Everybody eats when they come to my house.
Time for Radio Nibbles with John Lendorf, live from his home kitchen in Louisville. John, I wanted to talk about apples this week because I bought a whole box of seconds, as they're called, from the organic apple seller at the Boulder Farmers Market. And then I went out to that Yaya Orchard that you talked about last week, and I bought more apples. So I have a lot of apples, and I need to know how to store them.
So what kind of apples did you end up getting?
Well, I got some Fujis from the folks at the Farmers Market, and then I got some wine sap from the Yaya folks.
So the Fujis are more for eating.
Yes.
Although certainly you can include them in a, you know, applesauce or an apple pie, but they're more for eating as is. And as far as storage goes, cool and dark is the big thing, but not hermetically sealed. So not in a refrigerator and not frozen, but also, if possible, not incredibly warm.
So dark.
Does that help?
Yeah, dark corner of the basement, maybe with the box open, something like that?
The box doesn't necessarily have to be open, but as long as there's, you know, I'm assuming there's holes.
Yes.
Holes in the box.
Yes.
And that's true for both the Fujis and for the wine saps. Wine saps, of course, are like the premier pie apple. And the one thing I like to do with apple pies is to take half of the apples and cook them for a little bit on the stove, you know, with some of the other ingredients, sugar, butter, vanilla, cinnamon, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yep, soften them up a bit.
Yeah, and sort of make the sauce and then pour that over other sliced fresh apples. And one more apple thing.
Yes.
Because, as you know, I am Mr. Food Waste.
Indeed.
But it just horrifies me to see people, if you choose not to use the apple peels in your apple pies or your sauces or whatever, don't throw them away, you know? Take the apple cores and the apple peels and put them in a pot, cover them with water, and simmer them for an hour, and then pour it off and use that delicious apple water to make hot cereal or tea or any number of other things. But, you know, get your money's worth.
Oh, I'll try that. Thanks. That helps me out with my apple needs. What's new in local food news?
A lot of people will remember Daddy Bruce. He was he had a barbecue place, but he was also well known for feeding thousands of people on Thanksgiving. And Rocky Mountain PBS, Channel 6, is showing the documentary on his life, Keep a Light in the Window, on tonight, November 19th at 8 p.m. And in other news, almost all restaurants have now switched to takeout and delivery. Because of the serious COVID situation, and a few have some seating on a patio, but pretty much that indoor dining is done. The other thing I do is encourage everyone to get your shopping done now, because I fear that it will get more difficult in the coming weeks.
That's right, and you don't want to be in a crowded grocery store.
No. No. We're also sad to say that Zolo Grill, which has been open for more than a quarter century in Boulder, is closing its doors this week after a noble struggle to stay open. Hey, Sam.
Yes?
What's the best thing you've tasted lately, or cooked, more likely?
Yes, more likely cooked, because I'm not eating out much. Well, I made a leek and lentil soup. That was a really good soup for the cold weather we had a couple weeks ago. And I don't cook with leeks very often. The recipe said use the tender white and green parts. And so I just sort of guessed as to where the green parts stopped being tender. But some sweet paprika and a little bit of cayenne. It was one of those soups that gets thicker the second day, and it was really good. But I don't know much about leeks, but it made a good soup.
They get creamy after they cook for a while. That's really nice flavor. And of course, what you can do with the rest of the leek that you don't use for that is you can make leek broth.
See, you got a food waste tip in there on me. Well, John, the food waste tips, of course, are Fridays during the Friday Morning Magazine and also on the news website, which you can get to at kgnu.org. And John, you and I are going to be live for an extended conversation next Thursday, which is Thanksgiving morning. Will be the whole second half of the magazine. And we just want to let listeners know that we're looking for any questions, any comments you have, share any Thanksgiving memories. And if you'd like to do that in advance, call the KGNU comment line. That's 303-447-9911, 447-9911. If you share your question or share your Thanksgiving memory, we will incorporate that into the program. How's that sound, John?
And more importantly, your Thanksgiving Day disasters. I might share a couple myself.
All right, that too. So if you'd like to get that comment in advance, call the comment line, 303-447-9911. And John, I look forward to talking with you on Thanksgiving.
Keep cooking, folks.
'Cause everybody eats when they come to my house. All of my friends are welcome. Don't make me coax you, moax you.